You're listening to episode 46 of the Thrive Tribe 419 podcast, Natural Sleep Solutions with Dr. Malia Watts. Prosper, flourish, bloom with your people, your close-knit group, your clan, straight out of area code 419, with the most cutting-edge, controversial, and enlightening information from the most knowledgeable experts in everything, mind, body, and soul. Welcome to the Thrive Tribe 419 podcast. I'm your host, Rose Hollow. Hello, Tribe. It's the episode you all voted for. This was our number one vote on the poll that I put out recently for different topics that you would like discussed and covered on the podcast. So I took our number one most popular podcast guest and combined it with our number one most requested topic, and here is the episode that has resulted from that. You may remember Dr. Malia Watts from a year ago because she was the first guest on this podcast, and that episode is still our most popular, most frequently listened to episode. So if you aren't familiar with Dr. Watts, I'd like to introduce her. Dr. Malia Watts, who is formerly known as Dr. White, is a licensed naturopathic doctor, or an ND. She graduated from Southwest College of Naturopathic Medicine in Tempe, Arizona. After graduation, she completed an internship with Dr. Mary K. Geyer at Tree of Life Medicine in Tempe, Arizona. During her internship, she was able to help Dr. Geyer oversee care to patients in private practice, as well as on student shifts at Southwest College of Naturopathic Medicine. She also assisted in teaching minor surgery, class and laboratory, overseeing students at the minor surgery clinics, as well as serving as an attending physician with the Naturopaths Without Borders. She enjoys seeing patients of all ages, providing family care to those interested in a more natural, holistic approach to healthcare. Dr. Watts' undergraduate studies were completed at the University of Toledo, where she earned a Bachelor of Science in Independent Studies and a concentration in pre-medicine. Having grown up in Ohio, she is excited to provide naturopathic care to those in Northwest Ohio at her practice, which is called Toledo Naturopathic and is located in Waterville, Ohio. This episode is a doozy. It's a little bit long, but it's long on purpose because there's so much good information in here, and I wanted to make sure we covered this topic really thoroughly for you guys. So I know that there is so much more we could have covered with Dr. Watts, but basically what we talked about as a summary is that we're talking about why natural sleep solutions are so important and why we should care about sleep in the first place, whether quality is more important than quantity, and how adrenal health, stress management, and cortisol production play heavily into our ability to sleep, for all of you sleep nerds out there like me. And she talks about what these things are and why they matter. And also, most importantly, I feel, no matter whether you understand all of these big words and subject matter surrounding sleep, that all doesn't really matter, because if you're not having a good night's sleep, there are some very simple things you can do to improve your sleep. So at the end of this podcast, Malia and I talk about some sleep hygiene solutions that have helped me personally and that have helped a lot of her patients. She says that about 75% of people that suffer from insomnia are suffering due to stress, and there are some other root causes as well. So she kind of covers those in the sleep hygiene solutions at the end of this podcast. So hang in there with us. It's a wild ride, but I think if you're having trouble with sleep, or if you're not valuing sleep as much as you might want to, this is definitely the episode for you. But before we get started, I want to tell you about this podcast's main sponsor, and that is Matt Hollow, a licensed professional clinical counselor who provides simple and effective tools for emotional freedom. And Matt would like to know if the fireworks are bothering anybody. We know that there are some veterans out there and people who have experienced different kinds of trauma in their lives, and they are possibly experiencing anxiety and poor sleep due to the fireworks that are going off. This is definitely something that Matt can work with using EFT tapping. So if you're interested in working on your fear or phobia surrounding loud booms and cracks that are coming from fireworks, you can give us a call at 419-239-2113 to set up an appointment to try out EFT tapping and see if that helps you. You can also visit Matt online at www.matthollow.com. That's MATTHOLLO, no W, .com. Now we'll get right into our interview with Dr. Malia Watts.
Hey, Dr. Malia Watts. How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm doing so great. I'm happy to be back with you on your podcast. How are you?
I am great, too. And I am so excited to talk to you because you have the most popular episode on our podcast from a year ago, which is hard to believe, where you were talking about some basics about what naturopathic medicine is and what you do. So I am so excited to hear what you have to say about sleep, because this has been voted the most important topic. I put out a poll with my listeners, and they voted sleep and insomnia as the number one topic that they wanted to hear about. So between that and having you on here, I think this is going to be a very popular episode as well. And hopefully we can help some people out, because I know that you helped me out a little bit. And let's get some more people sleeping better.
Awesome. Absolutely. I feel like it's an area of people's health that's just very often neglected. And there's so much that we can do that's very basic with our lifestyles as a whole, and just kind of setting ourselves up for success to have a good night's sleep. So, yeah, I'm excited to talk about that. And hopefully our listeners are able to, you know, learn something new and take it back to their families, to their home, and use it and incorporate it. And maybe they get some benefit out of it.
Yeah, I hope so. So the first question I ask all of my guests on the podcast, and you're familiar with this, is how are you thriving in the 419?
Oh, my goodness. I love this question. There's actually a few things I kind of wanted to share. So just over this past weekend, we went out to Defiance, Ohio, out to the Canal Junction Farm. And Brooke Gordon, who owns Beetroot out of Defiance, organized a farm-to-table dinner. And so there were probably about 60 people in attendance, and all the food was either from Canal Junction or was locally raised. And there was a Chef Jody, who went to Le Cordon Bleu for culinary school, was preparing all of our food. So we got to sit outside on Canal Junction's farm. We had like a big farm style table, family style. Everybody was sharing tables together. We got to listen to Sam Dell, who was playing some really awesome music, and just had a fun night out, amazing food. I saw some patients that were there, met some new people as well, and it was just a really great night to be out. It was hot, but they shaded us well.
Yeah.
They kept us hydrated, and it was just an awesome night. So Beetroot, Canal Junction, you guys are awesome, and that was a really cool event that I think was something that was kind of new for the 419.
Yeah, I think so too. And I know that my listeners are familiar, if they're regular listeners, are familiar with both Brooke Gordon, Beetroot, and Canal Junction, because we've had them all on our podcast before. So that's kind of a cool little circle we have going there.
Yeah, it's a small community for sure. Lots of familiar faces.
Yeah, and I'm betting
really,
that some of my listeners were also at that farm-to-table dinner, if I had to guess.
Oh, I bet so. I bet so. It was really neat to just kind of meet new people, and just, you know, it makes our community, it brings us together to realize that there are people that care about similar, you know, qualities of food, the way that farms run, and just bringing people together, realizing like, oh, there's other people that think just like me. So it's always nice to have that camaraderie.
Absolutely.
So I think that was, that's one thing that I was really looking forward to this summer. And my last bit, recently started with Dave's running group, and they have a PR 5K program. So you're looking for doing a personal record with running a 5K, and they do a training program that lasts about 8 weeks long. So I joined that. We just are in our 3rd week. It's been the hot, every day that we've had practices, it's been like the hottest days out of the week, but it's been an awesome
Oh.
workout and really neat to meet, the running community and also a group of people that's really health conscious as well. So just exploring those and kind of growing that community and getting a really good workout at the same time.
Yeah, we've had some very hot days lately, so good for you. That could be tough.
It's been fun.
All right, so I'm sure you're sleeping better at night after all that running in the heat, and that is our topic. So it seems like a lot of people kind of brag. I hear this all the time, like, oh, I only got 3 hours of sleep last night. Like, look at me, I'm such a hard worker, and I'm, go, go, go. And when I used to hear people say that, I would think, gee, I'm really lazy. But now you've kind of helped me shift my thinking about this a little bit when you're talking about sleep hygiene, and some of the other podcasts that I listen to have kind of shifted my thinking as well. Now when I hear that, I think, that's not good. Like, you need to sleep. So, can you tell us why people are suffering from insomnia and why there's this like conditioning in our society to think that less sleep is better, and why that's not really the right way to be going about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's interesting you point that out because I think sleep has become kind of trendy in some ways because we have Fitbits that we can wear at night that tell us about our sleep. There's different apps that you can use. And I think it's really great that we're overall paying attention to sleep and having a better way that we can kind of gauge and measure our quality of sleep, how much sleep we're getting, and just having that mindfulness around it. And I mean, I guess if you think about it, like we spend about a third of our lives total sleeping. So obviously sleep is a really important part of our lives and making sure that we're doing that very well and that we have a successful night of sleep, if that's one way we can put it. What's also interesting when we think about this, like the CDC actually estimates that 35% of the population as a whole is not getting their 7 to 7.5 hours of sleep that's typical or that's ideal. So that's a big part of the population that's maybe not sleeping, at their best. So that's an area that we definitely want to pay attention to. So here's something kind of interesting. The brain as a whole is about like 3% of our body weight, but that 3% uses a quarter of the energy that our body is going to produce. So that small area is taking up a lot of energy, and at nighttime, it's really a chance that our brain is able to rest. So then we're able to take that quarter of energy when we're sleeping, and our body's able to do things like consolidate our day, basically. So think of it as kind of a card catalog that if we are able to learn anything new, any new memories, anything we learned at school, anything we need to use for that work presentation or that test we're studying for, during our sleep, we're helping to consolidate all of that information so that we can pull that in the future and use that. So it's helping with our cognition. It's consolidating info. We also know that, thinking about overall like blood flow. So we know the brain is using a lot of our blood, and as we're able to rest, we're able to take that energy and put it towards things like helping the body recover after a tough workout. We can use that blood and take nutrients to muscles so that we can help them to recover. We can use that to support motility of the digestive tract so we can wake in the morning and have a nice bowel movement. Another area of importance is if you even think about like acute illness, if we have a cold, if we have a flu, of course, we're more tired during that time. And we know we feel better. You know, we can lay down when you're sick, maybe take a really long nap that you're kind of unaccustomed to, but we wake up feeling better. And during that time of rest, our immune system's able to take that energy and use that towards healing, to support the healing process to get us feeling better quicker.
Right.
So lots of health benefits
So,
that we can be getting from sleep.
yeah, a lot. I think we kind of take it for granted sometimes until we have trouble going to sleep when we want to, and then that's when it kind of goes off the rails. And I have a feeling that some of the people listening to this are at that point now where their sleep has been so neglected for so long that at this point they're having trouble going to sleep.
It's time for a quick break. Does holistic life have you frazzled? Naturally Simplified is here to save the day and time, offering non-toxic alternatives to everyday needs using only organic and wild-crafted ingredients. Small batch formulas that can be customized for your specific needs, plus new workshops that cover an array of holistic health reservations. Join the Naturally Simplified Facebook group for a full list of events through December, which include CBD. Is it? Can it? Will it? Essential oil safety and DIY foaming hand soap. Essential oils, balms, sprays, and more now available at Indigo Therapeutic Massage and Spa in downtown Defiance, Ohio. For store hours, available appointments, and all the information you need to start living your life free of toxins, visit naturally-simplified.com. And this company is a company that I have personally used and can testify to its quality. Thanks, guys. Back to the show.
So I have a question, and I've heard both sides argued for this, so I want to get your opinion. Is quality of sleep more important, or is the number of hours we sleep more important?
Ooh, yeah, that's a good question. So there's a couple things to be looking at in my opinion. So on average, we can also look at just the quantity of sleep across the age spectrum. So or think of like newborns, typically they're getting 8 hours of sleep, 18 hours of sleep within a day. And then as we're getting older, we tend to sleep less. Teens generally need 8 hours of sleep a night, anywhere from once we're past our teens up to like 60s, 70s. 7 hours is a little more average. And then the older we get past the 70s, it's 6.5 hours of sleep a night and then less thereafter. And so part of this is just our physiology and part of the aging process. So we can see over time that we may be requiring less sleep, but I think the priority comes along that as we're getting less sleep, that we're really focusing on the quality within itself, that for those less hours that we're getting as much out of it as we can. So in my opinion, the quality is definitely more important. And we'll talk about some tips in a bit of how we can improve the overall quality. We keep in mind with sleep in general, we've got these different phases of sleep that we go through. So we've probably all heard of REM sleep, where we have the most vivid dreams. We have five different stages that we're going through, and each of these stages are important for the body itself. Within, I believe it's the third phase that we go through with the sleep cycle. That's when we're consolidating our memories. So that phase is obviously very important. So that slow wave cycle, it's a slow wave cycle is where we're really looking at restoring our overall health. So the more that we can ensure that we hit all of those stages of the sleep cycle, the better we can get the benefits of all of those stages and then feel more refreshed when we're waking up.
Okay, so this is getting a little more complicated. And I'm going to go even farther down this rabbit hole. and we'll come back around in a minute. But when you and I were first kind of discussing what we were going to talk about in this interview, you had mentioned three things that came to mind: adrenal health, stress management, and cortisol, and how they play heavily in our into our ability to sleep. So can you help us kind of understand what these three things are, kind of in a nutshell, and how they matter to the quality of the sleep that we're getting at night?
Yeah, I will do the best I can.
Okay.
So one thing that I want listeners to kind of keep in mind is that the when it comes to like epinephrine, norepinephrine production, when we're talking about that fight or flight response that we experience when we're under stress, the brain is in charge of that. So
Okay.
anytime the brain is perceiving any kind of stressor, the brain will prioritize that, and we will experience whether it's emotional symptoms from that, physical symptoms from that. So what's interesting is, like statistically, 75% of patients that have insomnia, usually the trigger comes back to stress. So we hear about patients that are put on sleep medications or anti-anxiety medications, and it helps to, reduce anxiety. We get a sedative effect that comes along with that, and we get sleep. We don't necessarily know the quality of sleep that that person's experiencing when they take those medications. But if
Right.
we're looking at this from a holistic perspective, if the brain will prioritize any kind of stress, we have to find ways to adapt to that stress itself. Otherwise, we're just really band-aiding what the symptom and the presentation is. So that stress and brain connection is really important, but we also have the adrenal glands. The adrenal glands are these teeny tiny glands that sit on top of the kidneys, and they also help with cortisol production, which is one of our stress hormones. Cortisol is a hormone that helps to support our circadian rhythms, and those circadian rhythms help with our sleep cycle. They help with our wake cycle, so we can wake and feel energized. Cortisol is that hormone that we have that the adrenals produce that will naturally produce more during the day because that's when we're awake and that's when we're active, and cortisol has an important role in our health. What's interesting is those adrenal glands, they are there to help us with a variety of functions, but when it comes to stress in particular, they're set up to help us with an acute situation. So is the tiger in the room? Is the tiger chasing us? Then we better have a fight or flight response so that we can, get out of that room. We're built for
Right.
those short-term instances of stress. Our bodies are not built for chronic stress. And when you think of the society that we have, I think there's this kind of idea that the busier you are, the more successful you are. So we have to have these lifestyles that are go, go, go. We're not giving ourselves that respite, and we're burning ourselves out. So our adrenal or our bodies aren't meant for that long-term stress exposure. And what we can see over time is those cortisol levels, while they should be high during the day and they should be low at nighttime, if we're stressed out during the day and we come home, we're checking our emails, we're worrying about work, we're not having a chance to decompress, we're trying to go to bed, we're worrying about our to-do list the next day, that cortisol elevation continues throughout the night. So while we should have melatonin takeover, which should help us to feel nice and sleepy and relaxed and get us ready for sleep, that cortisol takes over and it prevents us from being able to have a good night's rest.
Yeah, that makes total sense to me. And I know there's, a lot of fancy names for all of these different things that are happening in our bodies, but I think basically what you're talking about is people being in a fight or flight state versus a rest and digest state. So we want to try to get ourselves into that
Absolutely.
rest and digest state before bed. Does
Yes.
that
And
seem like what you're trying to say?
Absolutely. And I hope I did an okay job of explaining that. But yes, we spend way too much time in fight or flight. We need to do more rest and digest. And what's most important is not only do we need to, convince our bodies of that and set us up in that environment, but we also need to connect that to the brain and have ways to help with that decompression so the brain can recognize I'm in a safe place. I'm in a peaceful place where I can go to sleep. There's actually a couple books that people might find really helpful for resources. And there one in particular is called Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers: The Acclaimed Guide to Stress-Related Diseases and Coping. And it's by Robert Sapolsky. So this is a really interesting read because I mean, the title within itself, Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers. So he's going through in his book and talking about how, zebras can experience that fight or flight response if they're potentially prey, and they can get out of that situation and go back to homeostasis or go back to a nice calm, state once that threat is removed. However, I mean, we're built in that way, but we have constant states of stress. So this book is really interesting because it definitely talks about how stress can affect us with our overall health, as well as the effect it has on our sleep. And it's kind of eye-opening just to kind of check yourself and say, oh, well, maybe there are some ways that I need to start focusing on just decompressing in general. If we kind of piggyback that, there's another book that's called Say Goodnight to Insomnia. This is by Greg Jacobs, who's a PhD. He's actually out of one of the Ivy League schools, and he wrote this book, and he's created programs, and he sees patients. He has a 6-week program where he works with people. The title on this says a 6-week program proven more effective than sleeping pills. So he's really getting to the root issues as to why people have insomnia, helping them to recognize ways that they can set up their bedrooms, ways that they can have good sleep hygiene. But one of the biggest things that he emphasizes is helping to reset the brain, whether that's through cognitive behavioral therapy, EFT approach, being able to help that brain adapt to stress so that we're eliminating the cause, so that we can sleep well. And what was one thing that's interesting about what Dr. Jacobs actually said is, and this is common with insomniacs, we've probably all had that experience, like you have a night where you don't sleep well, you have another night that you don't sleep well, and then you have anxiety because what if on this third night, what if I don't sleep well, I'm at my breaking point. So it's interesting because he was actually saying that not only do we have the stress that compounds from not being able to sleep well a couple nights in a row or night after night in the case of someone with insomnia, but even so, the stress and the lack of sleep itself creates stress, but even the thought or the fear of not being able to sleep well contributes to poor sleep as well.
Yeah, I've heard that, and I think I've actually experienced that. In my case, it's whenever I travel, I can't sleep. And I think I've almost convinced myself that the first night or two, I'm not going to sleep.
Yes,
And it just doesn't
absolutely.
matter anymore.
So his book, this Say Goodnight to Insomnia, it's a wonderful book because he actually goes through his 6-week program and he starts giving people different framing. So instead of thinking, I don't think that you wake up and think, well, I don't think I can fall back to sleep. You change your thought process to, well, I always fall back to sleep sooner or later. And having those positive thoughts over time helps with that transition to have a better quality sleep.
And I like how you mentioned EFT in there too, because I do believe that EFT helps with sleep. Even when you're tapping about other things, I've just noticed that when I tap, especially before bed, no matter what I'm tapping on, I always sleep better that night. So, and it's probably just from like lowered cortisol levels, I guess, or Forward.
Absolutely. I mean, if we're thinking about this from a holistic perspective, as naturopathic doctors, we're trained to look at things from the whole and to treat the cause. And in this case, poor sleep is the symptom. So we have to figure out, based off of an individual, it's not to say that every patient that's experiencing difficulties with sleep, is stressed out, but 75% of them probably are. So we have to find out that root cause for the individual.
So I used to take a pill before bed every night. I didn't take any of those like really bad ones that you see commercials for, but I was taking Unisom every night, and it just made me feel drunk. I don't know that the quality of sleep was very good, but I was sleeping. But after my daughter and I seeing you and learning a little bit about sleep hygiene, I was surprised after I must have taken Unisom for 10 years, and I was so surprised at how well I was able to sleep without it after I just changed a few of my habits before bedtime. And that's called sleep hygiene, which is so funny because I never thought, that we would need to have hygiene around sleep. But can you kind of explain what sleep hygiene is and give us some strategies that we can try before we go to sleep?
Yeah, absolutely. It is funny to think about that term, sleep hygiene, but if we think, well, we have hygiene for everything else, so why wouldn't we have hygiene for how we're spending a third of our lives? But
I
there's a
mean, we
lot of
brush our teeth every day, and a lot of people have a bedtime routine, but we're not really thinking about the sleep aspect of getting ready for bed. We're doing all these other things, but not getting ready to sleep.
Absolutely. I mean, you're right. I think most people probably do have some kind of routine that they're doing before bedtime, but it's a matter of if that routine is really helping to set them up for success. And I'll hear patients, we'll talk about some of these tips, but I'll hear patients that have found different ways to kind of work around their routine so that they can try to sleep better. And in fact, they're kind of setting themselves up for the opposite. So a few things that are like really easy to incorporate. So for one, a cooler environment is better for the body to get into its sleep cycles. At nighttime, we should
And that can
see
be
that's
hard for some people this time of year with the heat.
yeah, absolutely. So, at night we should be seeing that cortisol hormone should be at really low levels so that we're not too stressed out, and we should see melatonin taking over so that we can have better sleep. By making that change, what we actually find is our core temperature decreases during the night. So the more that we can support that decrease in body temperature and having a nice cool room instead of a warm room, it helps people to get into that deep sleep quicker. So whether it's, if you have air conditioning, if you have the option of having a fan blowing on you, and we'll talk in a second about how that's also helpful in another way. Being in a cool environment can be helpful. Even if we don't have the option to have air conditioning in particular, taking a tepid bath, so doing something that's room temperature, that's not too warm, that's not too cold, can still help to decrease that body temperature and get us into good sleep. So that's something really easy to do, and to help us get there a little quicker. So kind
It's
of
funny too
piggybacking
because
off of,
I didn't think about like taking a hot shower before bed. It probably isn't the best thing to do to set myself up for a good night's sleep, and I never even considered that.
yeah, and it's something kind of easy to think about that even if you're changing that temperature of the shower that's a little cooler, or if you end the shower on a cooler temperature just for a minute, just so that that's the last thing the body's experiencing for temperatures, that's also a nice form of hydrotherapy. It's really great to support that rest and digest phase. So it can be really easy things.
Cool. What else you got for us?
Yeah, so kind of piggybacking off the fan. Now, it depends on the person, but having a quiet room where we don't have disturbances, or having, if you have a partner that maybe snores at night, or if you, if there's any kind of background noise that we need to block out, whether it's a fan, so it's a fan, we're getting a cooler sleeping environment, but we also get that kind of consistent noise that helps to lull us to sleep. Or even using if it's white noise machines, if it's they have apps on your phone that you can set and listen to, like the ocean waves, anything that we find relaxing. I'd definitely suggest not doing anything like too stimulating, like don't have the news on. That's not gonna be relaxing in the least. Don't have an action movie on. We'll talk about the TV in a second, but don't have anything on that's too stimulating. We want that to really coax us into that state of relaxation.
Right. That was a big thing for me that I changed, was making sure that, and I'm sure you'll talk more about this, but screens at night, not just what I was watching, but actually just being, having my face in front of a screen. So I'm sure that you'll cover that as
Absolutely.
well.
Well, yeah, that's perfect. Let's actually talk about that now.
All right.
All right. So, yes, bright light exposure. This is, I mean, with the day of technology, this is becoming like a big offender that I'm seeing with my patients. So, just kind of an example, when I was living in Phoenix, during the summer times, by 5 a.m., it is completely bright outside. And if you don't need to be waking at 5 a.m., it's kind of it's a rude awakening when it's totally bright in your room and you're trying to sleep for a couple more hours. So it was that point that I said, I'm just going to buy a face mask. And so I bought a face mask that I put on. It took me a couple weeks, but I put it on each night before I went to sleep. And I can't believe how doing something so simple totally changed my sleep for the better. And I started to wake up feeling refreshed. And blocking that sunlight in the morning for me in that case made a big difference. So here's the thing we need to think about. I think it's easy to kind of separate ourselves from nature, but the fact is we are part of nature. So we are built to have this ebb and flow just like what we experience in nature. So the sun is up and we are up, and the moon comes out and it's dark, and it's our time that we're able to relax. The more sunlight exposure that we have, it actually suppresses melatonin production. And during the daytime, that's a good thing because we don't want to feel sleepy. We want to feel awake. We need to be productive and do whatever we need. Nighttime comes around. If we're exposed to light that's acting like sunlight, and you're sitting in front of a computer screen, in front of a TV, your tablet, your phone, well, I got news for you. The light that's coming from those screens is on a similar wavelength to the sun. And so what we're seeing is these sleep disturbances and these cases of insomnia where people have been on their TV or exposed to these screens right before bed. They lay down in bed and then they lay there wide awake, not sure why they can't fall asleep.
I think that was part of
So
my problem.
yeah,
A big part of
I've been an
it.
offender of that too. And it's so easy because we wanna you come home after a long day's work and you just wanna watch your favorite show and you wanna sit with your family and have that time to relax, and there's absolutely nothing wrong about that. But what I really urge my patients is have a half hour before you go to bed that there's no screen light exposure. If you absolutely positively can't avoid that, most phones have it these days, but use a filter. A lot of phones, you can just flip a little switch and it's called a blue light filter, and it just blocks that wavelength and dims your screen so that at least the light that you're being exposed to isn't preventing you from sleeping well. I think a lot of the
I
Apple
have an
phones do that.
iPhone. Yes,
Yeah.
I have an iPhone, and I can say for sure mine has the amber screen filter, and it's actually, I have it set so it just comes on at the same time every night. so that if I'm looking at my phone, I think it's at 9 o'clock. If I'm looking at my phone at 9 o'clock, it's going to be amber colored instead of the blue light that comes through. And just doing that alone, I think made such a difference for me. If I
That's
am on my phone
awesome.
at night, because sometimes I have to work on my phone at night, unfortunately, and that is definitely a game changer.
Absolutely. Well, I'm glad that was that that's worked out really well for you. And I do think, I mean, we can certainly understand that there are people that are doing work late at night, and sometimes avoiding those screens is really unavoidable. So that's where having apps like that on your phone, setting a timer so that you don't even have to think about it, that it makes that transition on its own, I think is really important because it's one less thing we have to worry about. There are apps too. So if it comes to your tablet, if it comes for a laptop, there's lots of different apps out there. I have it actually on my laptop because I'm often my own worst enemy and working on charts and things late at night. So I use an app. It's free. So if you go to Just Get Flux, FLUX, if you Google that, you can download an app to your to a tablet, to a Mac, to a Windows computer, and it's got this awesome little program where you get to set your timer for everything, and you don't even have to think about it. It does it automatically, and is really really important. So anything that we can do to avoid screens. I really try to get my patients to not watch TV in their beds, or to not, don't read in your bed, don't watch TV in your bed, don't listen to your TV before you go to bed. Find something else. find something else to help us get to sleep.
And those are hard things to do. I think for moms too, I feel like I can speak for a lot of moms, is after your kids go to bed and you're tired, but you feel like that's your me time. I know I do, and that's when I want to do all the things. And that's kind of a problem because like you're doing housework and then you're checking your phone and you're watching your TV shows that you can't have on during the day because they're not appropriate for kids. And maybe you're eating the snack that's not maybe the best snack to eat before bed and all these things. And then before you know it, you're all amped up and like, oh, now I have to try to go to sleep. So it's kind of like I found that just changing like, and it didn't take a lot of changes for me. Like you said, it was the sleep mask. I got a pillow with like some cooling gel in it that helped me.
Awesome.
Yeah, it helps me stay cool at night. And the sleep mask, the amber on my phone. I still try not to use it, but of course, it's hard to avoid when you're a working mom and working at night. And then sometimes my husband will bring his laptop to bed. You're probably cringing now, but he'll sit and work on his laptop in bed when I have the lights off. So I'll put on my face mask, and he never has a problem falling asleep. He's like, he can do anything and just fall asleep, but I can't. So I have to put on my face mask, make sure there's no blue light and all of that. And I've also noticed that we used to have our TV a little bit closer to our bed in our old house. The room was smaller. And if I would watch that TV, I wouldn't be able to sleep. But now in our new bedroom, we have a TV in there, which is, I know, another bad thing. But I've noticed that the farther away the TV is from me at night, the less it gets me like feeling, I don't know, stressed or like kind of amped up where I can't settle down later. So if I do watch TV, I try to make sure that it's far away from me. And I don't know if that really, maybe it's just a psychological thing, like I'm getting ready for bed now, I'm like calming down because the blue light is still there, but it's not like right in my face. So,
Yeah, I
but
mean,
those
future
little
business
changes help.
idea. Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad that they were helpful. And I think that's a really good future business idea, and it's been something I've contemplated before. Like, well, we have apps on our smart TVs, we have apps for everything else. So when will they invite an app that blocks the blue light on the TVs? Rose, we should work on this.
I know. I remember when I was younger, and I don't know if anybody else listening remembers this, but when the first computers came out that didn't have the amber screens, I was showing my age here, but the first Apple computers that I had in the classroom when I was younger, in like junior high, had the black screen with amber letters on them. And when they came out with a full color screen, a lot of people started complaining of getting headaches. And I remember this. It was like in the, I don't know, maybe the early 90s, maybe late 80s. But for a while, they did sell an amber screen cover that you could attach to the front of your
I remember
computer.
those. They fell off all
Yeah, yeah,
the
yeah. And it seems like somebody kind of picked up on that it was affecting them in this way. And then somewhere along the line, maybe because they fell off all the time, we just gave up on that. But I feel like people are starting to become aware of this again.
Yeah,
Like
I think so,
maybe, hopefully, somebody will
absolutely.
come out with something for TVs. It makes
Yeah,
sense that they
anybody
would.
listening, you heard it here first.
Yeah. Steal the idea. We'll buy it.
Yeah, absolutely. I have one last little tidbit when it comes to sleep hygiene. And this was kind of something really interesting to think about. Is trying to have a good, like a consistent schedule of when we're going to sleep and when we're waking up. And that's easier said than done because every day is different. And especially for the mamas out there, that if the baby's waking, if we're having those kind of disturbances, then maybe we want a little extra sleep if the baby's sleeping longer in the morning. So trying to have as regular of a schedule as possible, and I was reading about this today, that think about it with, you had mentioned earlier, Rose, like when you travel, there's this little bit of a thought of maybe I'm not going to sleep so well. What's interesting is if we have an inconsistent sleep schedule, it's kind of like forcing your body to adjust to a jet lag that it didn't go through. So the more consistent we can be, the less confusing it is for the body as a whole. So
Yeah,
we
that
just
makes
don't want to
total
be
sense.
we don't want to be living in this cycle of like perpetual jet lag.
Yeah. And when you think about it, the seasons, if we were really exposing ourselves to natural light and then dark, the seasons change so gradually. So our ancestors were probably getting up and going to bed around the same time every day, and that was adjusting gradually. And in our lifestyle, we do whatever we want. We don't care what's going on outside because we're in a bubble. So yeah, that makes total sense.
Yep. So yeah, I hope those tips were helpful. It's just to set yourself up for success so that you can have a good night's sleep. I'll be honest, I don't use tons of sleep aids in my practice. There's a few occasions where I'll say, well, maybe we should consider a couple of things to just aid in that process. But I find that so many people, when we start talking about health and getting into the nitty-gritty of their lifestyle, so many people have, these little areas that they're not realizing, totally innocent. They're just not realizing how that could be contributing to poor sleep. And so we start talking about these kind of tips, and sometimes it's a really quick transition that people experience when they start doing good sleep hygiene, that sleep comes as a good result of it.
Yeah, well, I'm totally a believer in it. It definitely helped me after all those years of having to rely on a pill to go to sleep. So it's kind of amazing how just a few little changes can make a big difference. But if people are still struggling and they need your help, how can they get a hold of you?
Yeah, great. Well, we do have a website. So my website is ToledoNaturopathic.com. I have a pretty active Facebook page and some good following on there, so they can always find me on Facebook and just kind of read about things happening at the office or what we're up to. And I try to post some nice health tips on there as well. So that's a great way to be able to connect and find us. And I would, love to be able to expand these tips, give people some other suggestions for sleep, but more so help them get to, what's the root issue that could be preventing that night's sleep.
Yes, exactly. That's what I love about what you do is you look at the root, and there aren't many doctors out there who take that approach, and I think it's been very effective for my family, and I feel like so many others could benefit from that
Yeah.
approach as well. So, thank you for
Absolutely.
being
Thank
here. This
you.
was very interesting, and yeah, I hope this helps a few people out there. I'm kind of excited. I hope some of you who are listening will contact Malia or contact us through our website or Facebook page at thrivetribe419.com or the Thrive Tribe 419 podcast Facebook page or on Instagram, and let us know if you've tried any of these things and if they're working for you. I'm really curious about this now. So thanks again, Malia.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to seeing everything on social media. And if anybody ends up like posting any questions on there that I can help with, please let me know and we can follow up and have more discussions on this.
Awesome. That would be great. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you, Rose. Everybody out there that's listening, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for listening to the Thrive Tribe 419 podcast. Do you know someone who could benefit from the information you just heard? Share the love by sharing this episode. Want to connect online? Check out thrivetribe419.com to leave a review or check out more episodes. You can also join the conversation by searching for Thrive Tribe 419 on Facebook or Instagram. See you next time. Keep thriving.